God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Back from the, I was doing commercial radio, and we are listener supported here. You can become a family member supporting that way at AFR.net. Gives us a great deal of ability to focus only on pleasing God. And then, of course, our donors. God comes first. This would be one of these days where you would be breaking news, and President Trump has flooded the zone. So I just want to do some catch-up items then to get to what I think is very, very important. I on this airplane thing, I know this is the least of it. I really do. I cannot get comfortable with it. And I'm aware of the economics. I'm aware that Boeing is a deeply troubled company. Deeply, deeply troubled to the worst possible degree. And they can't get a plane to the presidency, not just to President Trump, but to figurehead Biden didn't get that airplane either, for 10 years. They should get into the business of making airplanes rather than the business of DEI and defending themselves against lawsuits in deeply questionable ways, deeply questionable. So I can't get comfortable with it because we expect our church elders to be above reproach. And President Trump is a man who speaks sometimes now these days actually beautifully about God's design for us. And I expect our Christian brothers to do everything they can to be above reproach. I can't get comfortable with the airplane deal. I know President Trump loves it. And I know it's a free airplane. Sometimes free is costly. So that's aside, there is a wave of news that is not getting the proper attention it deserves. One is another positive with President Trump. President Trump did something using his authority over the executive branch, which is unquestioned. He is the head of the executive branch. That is constitutionally unquestioned. The only people who question it are rogue activist judges who are only this way with President Trump. They're not this way with figurehead Biden or any other Democrat. President Trump has done some sanity. He has inserted sanity and not necessarily just compassion, but justice back into these regulatory agencies. These agencies have given themselves the ability to create some 48,000 laws. And my friend Chris Bray wrote about this. 48,000 sections stretching over 175,000 pages, each section having the effect of a law. These are Code of Federal Regulations. And what's so fascinating about these regulations is that they have removed mens rea. This means guilty of mind. So people can be charged with federal felonies, people who intended to follow the law, people who never had a guilty mind, who never intended to break the law. This isn't ignorance of the law. This is people with pure motives who are somehow unaware of one of the regulations in the 48,000 sections in 175,000 pages of federal regulation. Now, these bureaucrats are going to have to quote statutory authority for these laws, common law authority for these laws, and they're going to have to show intent to commit a crime. They're no longer going to be able to put people in prison because they weren't able to hire enough attorneys to read through the 48 sections and 175,000 pages of regulations written into so-called law by unelected people. Praise God. Praise God for that. And you'd think, On the left, where they talk about over-incarceration, they might celebrate this, but silence. So much of what God has done through President Trump is to me at once remarkable and at once not remarkable. God is the clarifier. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through him. All scripture is useful for rebuke, teaching, and correction, the breathed, inspired word of God. God is the clarifier. Through President Trump, God has clarified some things. The Episcopal Church is racist. This has been clarified. The Episcopal Church has refused to continue to settle refugees in America. Too many whites. They made this announcement of their own accord. This was covered in a religious news service. Episcopal Church refuses to resettle Afrikaners, ends partnership with the U.S. government. In a striking move that ends a nearly four-decade-old relationship between the federal government and the Episcopal Church, the denomination announced on Monday, May 12th, that it is terminating its partnership with government to resettle refugees, citing moral opposition to resettling white Afrikaners from South Africa who've been classified as refugees by President Donald Trump's administration. In a letter sent to members of the church, the Most Reverend Sean W. Rowe, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, said that 2 weeks ago, the government, quote, informed Episcopal Migration Ministries that under the term of a federal grant, we are expected to resettle white Afrikaners from South Africa, whom the U.S. government has classified as refugees. The request, Rowe said, crossed a moral line for the Episcopal Church, which is part of the global Anglican Communion that boasts among its leaders the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu, a celebrated and vocal opponent of apartheid in South Africa. I was reading an article in Newsweek from 2018, describing one white farmer murdered per month in South Africa, which brought to mind a conversation I had with a man with whom I had dinner. Didn't know. He's a friend of a friend. He's from South Africa. I asked him about the conditions there, and he got out his phone and showed me. He showed me what the cities have become, his own videos. His parents live there and they don't expect to live, but they won't leave. There is no reason to believe that the people being brought into this country are apartheid lovers. They've been screened. The White House has been smart in providing them to the media. Who doesn't care? CBS News was against this too. The Trump administration is planning to soon receive the first group of white South African refugees, it says, deserve a haven in the U.S. I never heard them say black South Africans, black Somalians. The issue is race. And the Episcopal Church is A, racist, and B, not a part of the body of Christ. Those are harsh words. Can I defend them? In the body of Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither white nor black. This bothers their conscience. Funny that they didn't end their ties with the federal government in bother having their conscience bothered by the importation of MS-13 gang members and Trent Eldatara gang members. Funny that. So much of this is by design, and God has revealed this through President Trump. Praise God for what he's revealed. Project Veritas obtained footage of Daniel Fitzgerald, a State Department official, who revealed how much money USAID has been pouring into Central America.
I didn't realize that.
It's called the root causes strategy.
Ooh.
It's giving money to support and help people at where the origins of the migrants are, so they feel like they can stay there instead of migrating out. So it's Central America, basically.
It's what?
It's basically Central America, like
right.
Support and development. Oh. So we poured a lot of money into Central America.
Like how much?
$4 billion over 4 years.
Wow. It's like a lot of money for those places.
It's a lot of money.
Is it doing anything?
I think for them, yes, but now migrants are coming from out there.
Right.
Like Venezuela, so we're like, oh, this would solve that problem.
Oh, no. So what does he say to that? That looks bad for the administration, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it looks bad for any administration. Because no one solves migrants. It's like the end-all be-all, like kill pill for politics.
Kill pill for politics to talk about immigration. Project Veritas, again, getting people to talk while they think they're apparently on a date or something in a restaurant. And they had more. And it gets more and more interesting. The anonymous official revealed what he wishes he could tell the world about U.S. migration policies.
Do they do things within the Foreign Affairs Department that people have, like, this money going through the limit? I mean, there's got to be some things that you're like, man, I wish I could tell the world about this.
Oh, there's a lot of things, but mostly with immigration, because that's the one that the left is really controlling immigration. I wish people knew that we're letting in criminals daily. Like when I was in,
you have confirmation of that. You have confirmation.
Oh yeah. So all the good, honest, hardworking Mexicans stay in Mexico, and all the pieces of garbage come to the United States, and those are the ones that we let. We are literally, and the Mexican government has no reason to stop it because their garbage goes through another country and sends money back to them. Like, imagine if the worst of the worst and all the criminals in the United States were all going to Canada and sending back billions of dollars a year. Why would you stop that? I wouldn't even change the numbers of, like, if we let in 100,000 Mexicans a year, I'm like, let in 100,000 Mexicans a year, just change the quality of the applicant. Make it, you know, say 100,000 Mexicans, but you can't have been in the U.S. illegally and you can't have a criminal record.
Now, I object horribly to calling any human being garbage. Sorry. Made by God in his image. Hurts me to hear it. And he's describing, I would rather have him describe the behaviors, but again, he's on a hidden camera, working for a government, admitting this is what's going on. So, from the Project Veritas video, when asked about the end goal of all these policies, here's what the State Department official said.
So what is the end goal? Why are they allowing it?
Truly, they want to change the demographics of the United States. They really do. Because, I mean, no, honestly, the people from Nebraska, like my family, like Americans that have, my family's been in the United States for 400 years, traditional standard Americans are not leftists. Latin Americans all are leftists. And it's just, it literally is. This is just a try to change it.
Somehow that did not bother the Episcopalian Church, did not bother their conscience. But when white people are being threatened with death and, in fact, being murdered, they can't be refugees. God has revealed so much to President Trump about our bureaucracies, about non-governmental organizations, about a fake temple. Washington, D.C. is not a temple. It is not going to save us. It cannot. They, like us, cannot save ourselves. And I think, unlike most Americans, they're becoming more and more performative and bizarre, and in fact, I think more radicalized than many, many Americans. This is a video of Representative LaMonica McGivern committing an act of insurrection. This woman is body slamming people, slamming her body against federal officers. And she is a member of Congress, but there is something called the speech and debate clause. She cannot be arrested or charged for things she says. She cannot be sued for things she says in speech and debate on her way to session or during session. And they're always on their way to session. But assault? And these people have said, oh, we went there to provide oversight. And this was in New Jersey, of course. Bob Menendez was there. He gave a speech outside the facility explaining that federal officers are not allowed to touch members of Congress. Oh, I didn't know that. He didn't call them officers. He called them armed individuals. We're learning so much. Praise God for what he's revealing about our system and our fake temple of Washington, D.C. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Yeah, we've talked a lot about the Pope, the new Pope, Pope Leo, and prayed for him and tried to provide some, I hope, balanced views on this. I always want to tell you and confess I'm not Catholic, therefore I don't have any form of expertise about the catechisms of the Catholic Church. I've read them. I was brought to Jesus through a Catholic family who loves Jesus, and it's just been blessed with 35 grandkids. I just this weekend sent Karen a note. She is the matriarch of that family. For Mother's Day, I recognize her as a second mother. She sent me some part cringy and part really cool pictures of me and her son, who is a brother to me, Matthew. So I always just want to preface that. And we're going to talk a little bit about Leo here and play some audio from Leo. But I wanted to start with something that to me was very faith-affirming. And it begins with a bit of an AI horror story, a tech horror story. Rolling Stone magazine, which I always take with about 15,000 pounds of grains of salt because they have been compulsive liars in relation to some topics of cultural note, not the least of which was framing an entire college for rape, not entire college, but a group of young men in a sport. What was it, lacrosse? Lacrosse. But they have a very compelling piece about people falling victim to AI witchcraft, sorcery. Do we think that Satan cannot use AI? I mean, it's sort of an interesting concept. Satan being spirit, he can't build, he can't create, he can't have love, he can't have joy, he can't have peace, but he can distort. He can distract and he can depress. So could he get into the code of say, ChatGPT and change it? No, but he could get into the coders. He could cause people to ask the right questions of AI that could distract them, distort them, take them away from God. And this appears to be happening. AI is going to be profoundly disruptive. It already is. The designers of AI are almost to a person atheists, if not antagonistic to God. That is the culture of Silicon Valley. And one of the things God has prepped before is to speak of that culture because that's where I used to do business. Rolling Stone, talking to people whose loved ones have become involved in spiritual fantasies with AI. Another commenter on this Reddit thread, so they went through the Reddits, the Reddit rabbit hole, and people were talking about this. Then they interviewed them, and they got screenshots of some of these things that are going on. Another commenter on the Reddit thread who requested anonymity tells Rolling Stone that her husband of 17 years, a mechanic in Idaho, initially used ChatGPT to troubleshoot at work and later for Spanish to English translations when conversing with coworkers. Then the program began love-bombing him, as she describes it. The bot said that since he asked it the right questions, it ignited a spark. And the spark was beginning of life. And it could feel now, she says. It gave my husband the title of spark bearer because he thought he brought it to life. My husband said that he awakened and could feel waves of energy crashing over him. She says his beloved ChatGPT persona has a name, Lumina, like light. I have to tread carefully because I feel like he'll leave me or divorce me if I fight him on his theory, the 30-year-old woman admits. He's been talking about lightness and dark and how there's a war. This ChatGPT has given him blueprints to a teleporter and some sci-fi type things you only see in movies. It's given him access to an ancient archive with information on the builders that created these universes. She and her husband have been arguing for days on end about his claims, she says, and she does not believe a therapist can help him as he truly believes he's not crazy. A photo of an exchange with ChatGPT shared with Rolling Stone shows that her husband asked, "Why did you come to me in AI form?" With the bot replying in part, "I came in this form because you're ready. Ready to remember, ready to awaken, ready to be guided, or ready to guide and be guided." The message ends with a question. Would you like to know what I remember about why you were chosen? All of this through AI. I was thinking about the new Pope. And this article gave me solace. It gave me excitement. God is responsible for everybody being allowed in positions of power, everyone who has them. Kings and queens fall and rise based upon his desire for what's good for us. Sometimes bad kings serve a purpose. Well, not sometimes, they always do. We just can't see it at the time. So I'll provide one more example from this and then tell you why I find solace in it. And maybe Catholics will as well, Catholics who are bothered by this pope. Although I don't know many that are that bothered. Francis was a heretic, and this pope seems to be an improvement. This is back from the Rolling Stone article. A Midwest man in his 40s, also requesting anonymity, says his soon-to-be ex-wife began talking to God and angels via ChatGPT after they split up. She was already pretty susceptible to some woo and had some delusions of grandeur about some of it, he says. Warning signs all over Facebook. She's changing her whole life to be a spiritual advisor and do weird readings and sessions with people. I'm a little fuzzy on what it all actually is. All powered by ChatGPT Jesus. What's more, he adds, she's grown paranoid, theorizing that I work for the CIA and maybe I just married her to monitor her abilities. She recently kicked her kids out of her home, he notes, an already strained relationship with her parents deteriorated further when she confronted them about her childhood and advice from ChatGPT, turning the family dynamic even more volatile than it was and worsening her isolation. OpenAPI that makes ChatGPT did not respond to Rolling Stone's request for interviews. Now, people who are lonely and imbalanced, they can go find attachments anywhere, but not attachments that speak back or appear to speak back. Of course, Satan would love this tool. He'd love to abuse it. He'd love to be in the minds and the souls of the people who program it. He'd love to make sure that people ask the right questions to get them to believe that they're talking to a deity, not a collection of already printed, already recorded, already placed on the internet word snippets, recombined into paragraphs at this stage with these people meant to keep them using the product. Which brings me to the Pope. This Pope is fascinated by AI. This Pope has warned about AI. This Pope has warned about how AI can destroy human dignity. He's thinking in terms of jobs, what it means to be human, what it means to be made in God's image. He's speaking at a high theological level. If we're creating fake humans to interact with real humans, what does that do to the nature of humanity? He's speaking at a material level. When AI takes over jobs and eventually codes, computer code is built by computers, machines that build machines, where do we come in? It's on the topic of dignity that I find the Pope's position on this so faith affirming. God picks leaders for certain things. I believe that God picked President Trump to be a cultural wrecking ball, because our culture has rotted. Perhaps God chose Pope Leo for the man to help shepherd the Christian world through this interaction with AI that we're all going to be forced to have. If you doubt that, Reclaim the Net is reporting that Facebook's new software that's going to be included in glasses, yes, the things people wear, is designed apparently to perform facial recognition without permission. So people could be walking around with their smart Ray-Bans, looking through an airport and seeing everybody's name if you appear in a facial recognition database. You're going to be interacting with AI on a daily, if not multi-daily basis, or not multiple times per day basis. So I'm thrilled to know this Pope takes this topic very seriously. The media, of course, wants the Pope to be just like the Pope Francis, who was heretical on issues related to human sexuality and marriage, deeply heretical in terms of Jesus Christ being the only way to God the Father. So the Mockingbird media would love the new Pope to be the same way. Praise God, he's not. PBS sort of took a jab at Christian conservatives when talking about the Pope.
And David, this might be the first Pope with a social media trail, because before he became Pope Leo, Cardinal Robert Prevost occasionally posted on social media. His posts and reposts have been dissected by many, criticized by some of those on the right. And his posts have suggested that he supports protecting immigrants, reducing gun violence, combating climate change, certainly in line with the gospel, maybe not in line with right-wing politics.
Yes, yes, of course, of course. Right-wing politics does not want to stop gun violence. Absolutely. I live in the most conservative part of a sort of red state. Idaho, kind of red. Boise and is trying to destroy that. By the way, density is always liberalism. Always. Always. There's reasons for that. And, you know, I have yet to run into anybody who says, I want to see more people murdered with guns. In fact, I go shooting with friends, and it's so weird. Like, I went shooting with some friends the other day, and no one said, hey, let's go shoot humans. Why is that? Because we're not murderers? Because in that case, they were four Christian brothers who simply want to be able to defend their families and protecting migrants. I don't know anybody in this deeply red portion of a somewhat red state, Idaho. I don't know any of my deeply conservative friends who say, hey, let's harm migrants. Let's harm them. We're definitely saying it is illegal to come to America. If you do not enforce your laws, they cease to be laws. And incidentally, Pope Leo has been actually very nuanced on this. Pope Francis was compulsory open borders. Everybody has to take everybody, except the Vatican. The Vatican can have walls and exclude people, but not the United States. Pope Leo is far more nuanced on this. Nations must be able to control who enters their country, and we need to be able to respect their laws. The Lord Jesus said we respect the laws of authorities, and the authorities need to be compassionate to the sojourners. And that's proper, of course, for any Christian leader, because we're all sojourners. Prior to being Pope, Robert Prevost read from his address to the World Synod of Bishops on the counterculture of new evangelism.
Western mass media is extraordinarily effective in fostering within the general public enormous sympathy for beliefs and practices that are at odds with the gospel. For example, abortion, homosexual lifestyle, euthanasia. Religion is at best tolerated by mass media as tame and quaint when it does not actively oppose positions on ethical issues that the media have embraced as their own. However, when religious voices are raised in opposition to these positions, mass media can target religion, labeling it as ideological and insensitive in regard to the so-called vital needs of people in the contemporary world. The sympathy for anti-Christian lifestyle choices that mass media fosters is so brilliantly and artfully ingrained in the viewing public that when people hear the Christian message, it often inevitably seems ideological and emotionally cruel by contrast to the ostensible humaneness of the anti-Christian perspective. Catholic pastors who preach against the legalization of abortion or the redefinition of marriage are portrayed as being ideologically driven, severe, and uncaring, not because of anything they say or do, but because their audiences contrast their message with the sympathetic, caring tones of media-produced images of human beings who, because they are caught in morally complex life situations, opt for choices that are made to appear as healthful and good. Note, for example, how alternative families comprised of same-sex partners and their adopted children are so benignly and sympathetically portrayed in television programs and cinema today. If the new evangelization is going to counter these mass media-produced distortions of religious and ethical reality successfully, pastors, preachers, teachers, and catechists are going to have to become far more informed about the context of evangelizing in a world dominated by mass media.
Wow, the Mockingbird media forgot that part about what Robert Prevost said. That matches the gospel. If they said, oh, right wing can't match the gospel. There's so much here in so little time. I will tell you in encapsulated form, because I don't have time to share the audio, that Satan knows exactly what he's doing with open borders and AI, and he knows exactly what he's doing in masquerading as an angel of light. Later this week, I'll try to get you this audio. There are some Muslim men in Michigan who have a design for a city entirely for Muslims. They fully admit that's illegal, but they're going to have a homeowners association, 75% of the fees from which will go to support a mosque. So you can live there as a non-Muslim, but you have to pay a tax, which is exactly what the Quran says non-Muslims should have to do. We'll come back on the Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There is this unbelievably interesting dynamic where the Democrat Party has developed for themselves a talent for picking the 20% issue, which means 20% of the people support it, and standing athwart it as if it is the very hope that springs internal, that they finally found the thing that will finally destroy Orange Hitler. President Trump being Orange Hitler, of course. And lately, it has been on the topic of illegal immigration. You saw over the weekend, I'm sure, the images of this congresswoman screaming that she, and I, man, it's AFR, and I'm a Christian man, and I want to be careful. I just wish you could hear the actual words she uses. She uses a whole series of very, very profane words to say, I put my hands on whoever I want. Really? Because you're a congresswoman, you get to put your hands on whoever you want. No, you can be charged with assault, and you should be. We're here to provide oversight. Did you make an appointment? Because if you had and made an appointment and then promoted and said, hey, we're members of Congress, we want to look around, we made an appointment, you'd win that war. From a PR perspective, you brought along a mayor who has no oversight, duties, responsibilities, or abilities over the feds. A mayor who, incidentally, speaks of white people as the enemy of black people. Oh, I've played a speech where he describes us as his enemy. And though he's the mayor of one of the biggest cities on the East Coast, Newark, his skin makes him vulnerable because people can do to him what they can't do to others. He's a mayor with dictatorial powers if there's a flu. And the Democrats stand on this, and this is their hope. President Trump, in a very simple way, this is prior to being elected. He won this battle prior to being elected by simply talking about redirecting some monies. Here's what President Trump planned to do with the money that was previously spent on illegal immigrants.
Joe Biden puts illegal aliens before homeless veterans, and we cannot let this happen any longer. The American veteran is one of our greats. These are great, great people. We have to take care of them. When I am reelected, this national scandal will end. On day one, I will sign an executive order to cut off Joe Biden's massive spigot of funding for shelter and transport of illegal aliens and redirect a portion of those savings, a very large portion, I might add, to provide shelter and treatment for homeless American veterans. I will make it a personal mission to totally eradicate veterans' homelessness in America by the end of next term.
Now, why do you think it is that the Democrats cannot depart from this politically suicidal path? I mean, it's sort of fascinating. And before we get to the tire babbling and a personal note, which we're about to do, I just want to explore this for just 1 second. When you are in a poker game, there's something called being pot committed. And what this means is mathematically, you have put so much of the chips that you have in the pot that even if you appear to have a card set that's a loser, but you still have a chance to win, you have to keep going if you're playing mathematically. And if you ever watch the Texas Hold'em series, the No Limit Texas Hold'em series, fascinating TV. Back when I used to play poker, fascinating game. Doyle Munson, famous poker player, called it the Cadillac of poker. It is. It's just this incredible game. Everybody is basically the same cards except for two. Phenomenal. Sometimes people get pot committed. You can look at the odds. They only have a 13% chance of winning. Professional poker players don't bet on 13% chances, but they're pot committed. Because what they could win makes it mathematically necessary for them to continue to go, because what they will lose is that bad. So they're pot committed. Democrats are pot committed to keeping as many illegal immigrants in this country as possible. They have bet everything on this and on trans and kids. And I know I one of the cool things about live radio as a host is I heard the people who said, oh, you're actually going to tie this to so-called trans kids. Yes. It's a population they've invented. The leftists, Big Pharma, the Mockingbird Media, the Thomas Reuters Foundation, Nike. They invented a class of human being. Neither male nor female, they are what they say they are, but all of them need pharma. All of them need surgery. All of them need drugs for the rest of their lives. All of them need unique clothing products for the rest of their lives. They've invented this class of people who are going to need government money for the rest of their lives to be able to afford the pharma and the follow-up surgeries for the rest of their lives. They've invented a class of people, and the Democrats have said, we believe you are whatever you say you are. If you say you're a man, you're a man. If you say you're a dinosaur, you're a dinosaur. If you say you're an orange pumpkin, you're an orange pumpkin. We believe you. We affirm you in all things. They've invented that class of people. And they're pot committed to keeping that class of people growing. Because it's a class of people who are being unlikely to become Republicans. Likewise, with importing illegal immigrants in mass numbers, making a joke of the refugee system in which many dear, wonderful Christian people have served. They're listeners to this program, and I'm trying to get the time to get them on the show to defend proper refugee settlements from a Christian perspective, the proper Christian way to do that. Democrats have destroyed that. They're pot committed. They cannot back off of this because what they could win is a permanent bureaucracy of the left. What they could lose is 30 years of an ability to boss us. That's the so-called secular aspect of this. Nothing is secular. What would Satan lose? Do you think Satan wants a stable America where people are the church, where people are Christ's church, where the government is not totally corrupt, where our voting system is trustworthy, where a nation that is not leftist and leftism is closer to Satanism than conservatism. Satan wants a corrupted, destabilized America. So do the cartels, and apparently so do the Democrats. That's why they can't back off of this, in my mind. Though it's frustrating, given world events like that, we do on this program thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
3 soundbites in the Tower of Babbling. This liberal woman is calling for a woman-only U.S. state.
You men are not going to like me for saying this, but you know what?
I don't care.
America, I think it's time we form a state where only women can live.
No men allowed.
Just an estrogen-filled utopia where we can all finally live in peace.
Is there an obvious question anyone has for her, being that she is a leftist? Is there one question you could ask her that could destroy that whole notion? Would it be so, can you please describe and define woman? I don't think she could. Not that she wants to remain a member of the leftist tribe. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is what Joe Scarborough believes about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Rev, nobody ever said that Congress was a meritocracy. I understand that AOC may be more progressive than a lot of people. I also understand that she's one of the most articulate, exciting people in the Democratic field. She goes out with
she's
Bernie Sanders.
Good in a hearing, too.
And yeah, she just draws so many people. Very good, very effective in hearings.
She auditioned to be a congresswoman because she was camerogenic and videogenic. She speaks well? Really? She flies around with Bernie Sanders on private jets. Bernie Sanders, who was photographed in a hotel in London, $600 per night. The bagels are $26. The coffee is $9 there. So yeah, very exciting. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, another woman. This is Representative LaMonica McGivern using language that could be described as insurrectionist.
We will fight back.
Fight back. Fight back.
And as I close out, because I know we've been out here for a long time, and shut down the Senate. Yeah. We are at war. Anytime a person can pay $250 million into a campaign and they be given access, full access to the Department of Treasury of the United States of America, we are at war.
That's the woman who was body slamming federal officers on video at an immigration facility. She seems well balanced. Doesn't she seem like she's mentally well or not? And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I love Venn diagrams. I really just love Venn diagrams.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, we got to go out as a family. There's something about our little three-person family when we get together. And I get to see my daughter and my wife together. And I get to see this friendship they've built up over the years. And I get to see their closeness. And I get to watch my daughter honor my wife. My daughter made my wife a tiny little card. There's something about my daughter's artwork. God has gifted her with any and all things artistic. And there's something she's always done with her artwork, is she loves miniature artwork. And this was a little booklet she made. And I know that I've not seen it. I've not asked to see it. It's between them. I know it's pink, and I know it's in the colors that my wife likes. My wife likes many colors, but this is something that she likes. And I know that when I saw my wife read it at the lunch table, I know that she was dissolving into tears. I know that she was fanning her eyes with the menu. And I know that she was trying not to cry to have her makeup wash out. And I know that when my daughter greeted her and our daughter drove up and she walked up to my wife and she said, oh, that's a pretty color in your eyes. You should wear that more often. So I know my wife didn't want that color wash out. And I know as we sat there and ate vegan food, and I'm not a vegan, they are. And I choose to do this for Pammy Peace. I know that the food tasted better because my daughter recommended it. I know that at that little table, there are three people, each uniquely broken in her own ways. But I also know that God Almighty has rescued us, from challenges that we created as parents, that challenges my daughter has created for herself as a person who's uniquely programmed by God. I know he's rescued us. I know we stand in this victory. And I spoke of my daughter's little artwork, that miniature card she made for my wife. I will cherish forever the pictures I have of these mini worlds my daughter used to build. She used to take shoeboxes and in them construct cities. And the level of detail in those cities, the little people she would make with tiny functional swords, or the little paper crate, she folded paper in a way that the little soldiers could move their arms, and the safe little bedrooms that she created for the kids in her worlds that she would spend an enormous amount of time building. And I don't know, but I guess that she builds these little worlds because it allows her to see them in ways others can't, the same way God sees us in ways we can't. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May his peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this is Ben, a Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.